Y'all, I had a week like that last week, so that's a little different, but pretty close with all those texts going off.
Well, we're
going
to get you a vacuum cleaner today.
No vacuum cleaner for me, no. And honestly, he does really well with the gifts, so I'm grateful. Amen. But I am so glad to be here. I want to wish you guys a happy, happy Mother's Day. Yes. I want you to know that very intentionally and purposefully, I want to celebrate all the ladies, not just women. And yes, it's Mother's Day, and we're going to talk about motherhood, of course, but really this day, I want to celebrate every single woman, whether you have children or not, or you're going to be a mother, or you're a grandmother, or you're an aunt that's raised kids, every kind of aspect. If you are a lady, you have motherhood inside of you. There is scripture where we're talking about bringing things to the next generation and how the elder women teach the younger children. So I hope to cover every aspect, and it's too huge. But we've got such wonderful, special ladies here in our church. And I'm so excited about this service and to share and highlight some of these ladies with you. But I also want to celebrate you guys. I want you to know, of course, we've talked about the photo wall, and you guys know what this is by now, and you know what to do. This one's going to be a little bit different. We've tried to provide a photographer, and it's Mother's Day, y'all. I know, I don't like to get my picture taken. You guys know that. But I do cherish the memories and the pictures from the photo wall. So it's Mother's Day. Please get back there. Please do a picture. If it's just for you, just do it. Also, after service, I have a special little gift for you that the ushers and some of our young gentlemen will be passing out as well, so don't miss it. Are you guys ready for service? Are you ready for hearing from other ladies? Can I have all our ladies that are going to come join me? Please come up on the stage. That's not good enough, y'all. I need a big hand clap. I need some big cheers. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So excited about it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Awesome, awesome. Ladies, grab a seat, and we're excited to jump in today. Look at all these beautiful ladies. One more time, can you celebrate them today? So excited for each of them. Man, I feel like Oprah about to sit down. You get a car, and you... Well, anyway, we don't quite have... Oprah's favorite things, but we're excited about being on stage with these beautiful, this is more comfortable than I need to be, because I can't see folk, but this is exciting to have these ladies on stage today. We've been talking about the best of the story the last couple of weeks, and really, I think every man would agree, every son, every husband would agree, every daughter in the room would agree that if there's anything good in you, if there's anything working in your life, if there's anything that you know, if you have any wisdom, if you have any knowledge, it is because of either your mother or a mother figure in your life, a mentor, someone who just stuck by you and stayed behind you and remained in your ear at all the right and appropriate times in your life, because we all need the voice of a mother figure in our lives to help us know what we do not know. And so let me introduce to you who is on the stage. I'll start over here in the middle. This is Miss Carolyn Jordan. We're excited to have her on stage today. And I see Miss Patty Walden on stage today, and then there is Celeste Banks on stage. There's Cindy Bailey down at the end of that couch today, and then Taylor Lloyd is all the way at the end of this couch, and then Miss Patricia Dunn is right here close to me. One more time, can you give all of these ladies a hand today? This is Kristen Hooper, my wife. Boss's Day, Mother's Day, all in the same. But we love our PK today and appreciate her being up here as well. So This is a very diverse cross section of ladies. These ladies come from all walks of life, and you're going to hear just a snippet of their story, and maybe understand why they are up here respectively, and certainly appreciate the value, the wisdom that they bring to us today. But we know that some of these ladies are moms. Some work in and out of the home. Some are married. Some are smart. You have all. Let's get this settled today. Are we doing the toilet paper over or under?
Over.
Over.
Ms. Patty doesn't look like she's sure. Are we going over or under? We got to settle some important things here today that I know really, really matter. But Kristen, honestly, we just wanted to talk to some of the ladies, the special ladies of the church at Covington, because they're all amazing. They're all incredible.
Right. These are amazing, amazing ladies. And I have the privilege of getting to know some different levels and different depths. And these women spoke to me, and I want everybody to know each other a little bit differently and find out where we come from and why our viewpoints are the way we are. I think perspective is so important. So I hope we chose the right just variety that we can. But these, one thing I know I did, these are amazing, amazing women. So I just can't tell you that enough, and you're going to hear about it. We have specific questions and for all of them on, but I want to start up with one for all of y'all. And you guys can just chime in, but this is just a real general question. But tell us, what's your favorite thing about being a woman?
Wow.
Any order. Just yes, Celeste.
I get to look pretty.
Absolutely, we get to look pretty. What a great answer.
Okay. I'll say, I think just like you said, we were born with that natural instinct to be a mother, whether you're a mother or not. So being able to love on and lift others up is probably my favorite part.
I love that. Love it.
I just love getting to be a mother, but now I get to be a grandmother.
Right.
That's my favorite part.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yep. They say it's even better than being a mother. Is it true?
It's true.
It's true.
I just love being able to brag on my kids, and I know everybody gets tired of hearing it, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
And I love that about her. She does brag on her kids, and I love her kids. She's a great mom. She's a great mom.
I'm not a mother, but I enjoy being around other women of God.
Great.
I love being a woman and a mother because I get to tell everybody in my house what to do.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you for
that
answer.
It's the truth.
Finally got some honesty on this stage. That's perfect. I love it. I love all of the individual stories. And Kristen and I, we've been living here about a year and a half, and getting to know people, and Kristen and I, we're people, so we like to know you. We like to share life with you, and we've just been learning the different stories and learning about different people. And I mean, even this week, I got a letter in the mail, last week, and it just blew me away. If I could stand here and read this letter, it would blow your mind, some of the things that God is doing in this house. But I can't do that yet. Maybe someday we'll get to share some of the stories that we're a part of and that we see happening, and it's just amazing. I so appreciate these ladies allowing us to just open up and share a little bit from their lives and their stories, because I really think that it's going to bless you. And I'm excited about Patty Walden being on stage with us today. This is a beautiful, beautiful lady, and I love, she just said that she's a grandmother, but she's very active in life. She and her husband own a business here in town, and they like to travel and like to get away, very active, and all kinds of great things happening. But I've met her kids, and she has raised incredible kids. You have Melissa Kitchens, who's here with us today and on staff with us here, and then you have Amanda Walden, who's successful and a blessing and just a wonderful human being. But I'm curious today, Miss Patty, just this idea of raising kids versus influencing grandkids. I've heard it said, you know, some good advice: don't kill your kids because better ones are coming. And I think that may, you know, I keep hearing that is true. But you've really gone from the coach to or commander, rather, commander phase to the coach phase. You know, when you're raising kids, you have that commander phase where it's you're going to eat your broccoli. You know, did you wash behind your ears? You know, I mean, you're commanding them. You're telling them what they need to do because they don't even know that's what they need to do. And then you graduate at some point to the coach phase where you're getting to encourage them. You're offering these little bits of wisdom and these little nuggets that would help them. And I know all of you have to be strategic and careful because as your kids get older, they don't want to hear as much from you as they used to. And so you have to be strategic in how you drop those things in. But let me ask you this, Miss Patty. What or who is more important? This is not a fair question. I'm just going to tell you right out. Who's more important, your kids or your grandkids?
Both.
Well, that was the right answer. But let me ask it this way: do you feel more pressure with your kids or with your grandkids? And let me preface this: some of the reasoning behind that is because when you raised your kids, life, culture, society was one way. Now, these years later, you have grandkids, and there's all these new pressures and so many more influences. So we know both are important, but how would you answer that? Who do you feel more pressure with?
Probably the grandchildren. It's just so it was so important to me as a mother to keep my children raised up in prayer and to teach them the ways of the Lord. And now that I have two beautiful daughters who are a wonderful example to their children, and the beautiful thing about my relationship with my children now are I don't have to be that commander. Now they're my best friends.
Yeah.
But with the grandchildren, it's just as important for me as a grandparent to keep them bathed in prayer. Yeah. And to show them the ways of God.
So good.
That answers my question was, what do you want to pass on to them, to your grandchildren? Did you just answer it?
One thing I would like to pass on to them is my mother was a great example to teach me and my sisters hospitality. Mm-hmm. And now I see my children just showing that hospitality to others, and I feel like that's so important.
Absolutely.
And I want my grandchildren to learn to watch that in their parents. Mm-hmm. And learn to be hospitable to others and just love others unconditionally.
Yeah, that's so good. And my stage in life, I recognize that as well, that your generation definitely was more hospitable. My generation, you know, I've worked full time, so that is lacking, I'll be honest. And I reach for that, I want that. It's important to have a home that's open that your friends can come to, where you're accepting other people. There's just more to it than just showing off your house. I believe it's very, very important, and I appreciate you saying that. Absolutely.
Let me ask you one more thing, Patty, or have you speak to one more thing. I know your great husband, Tony, faced a very tough diagnosis here just weeks ago, and was diagnosed with kidney cancer, found a tumor in his kidney, and so they went to take one of those, and he's doing great, and we're so thankful for his recovery. I saw him today before the service started, and He was just as ornery as ever. He tells me every time he wakes up, I'm preaching really good. So I like that. But let me ask you this. From this perspective, we know moms are the glue and grandmas are, you know the grandkids, if they can't find their parent, they're going to call you. Where's my mom? You got all the answers. But when you're faced with a situation like this cancer diagnosis in your rock, in you know, the king of the family, if you will, pay me for that later, Tony. But when you're faced with that kind of challenge, how do you? I know that rattled you. I know it shook you. I know it scared you. It's okay to admit that. But how do you deal with your own emotions while also feeling the responsibility of being the glue, being the faith rock for the family? Can you speak to that?
All I could do is, when fear would come, doubt would come, I just had to continue to run back to God. And His perfect love just has a way of taking care of things.
Amen. Yeah.
And because of the mother instinct that God puts in us, it kicks in. It doesn't matter if it's a husband or a child or a grandchild or a friend. You just feel that need to take care of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, Miss Patricia Dunn, I want to talk to you a little bit because I think you, it's happening. I think you represent a wide large group of moms and women that are here today. You are a mom of teenagers. You've got Daniel and Ansley, and they're beautiful kids. They're great kids. But I'm going to ask you just right out of the box here, how challenging is it to raise teenagers in 2019?
Well, it's very challenging. I mean, it's like you guys were saying earlier, when they're younger, you can tell them everything to do and they just do it. And now they think everything you say has no validity. They don't think you know what you're talking about because you haven't lived that before. But we have, and we're just trying to make life easier for them, but they don't seem to understand it. So it's very challenging. And I think at this point in their life, I think it's the natural progression to pull away from us, and I think as a mom it's hard to let them go, and so that's what we pray about most, is when we need to rein them in and when we need to give them a little room. It's very hard.
Yeah, and I we wanted to talk to you about that. Chris and I talked about that specifically, preparing for this teaching today, because you're right at that phase where you've got one child that's graduating from high school and about to go off to college, and yes, you know, they are right in one sense. You know, any of our teenagers are right in one sense that, you know, things are different, times are different. Well, if you think they got better, they're not. You know, the clothes may be cooler, the gadgets may do a lot more stuff, but times are a lot more difficult than they were then. And we see that. We recognize that as parents and as pastors. And so we do. The goal is to make life a little bit easier for you. But here you have your oldest going off to college. I'm curious, does he know how to do laundry?
He does. He's been doing his laundry for a while, thank
the fantastic.
Lord. Most of the time it's left in the dryer, but...
Yeah. So, I mean, when he's off to college, do you think his toilet will ever be cleaned?
No.
Okay. I mean, just some real talk. These are things parents have to. These are things parents have to deal with.
I have a question. How does that transition from, like, well, for me, you know, they're telling them to clean their ears, take a bath, and then boom, there's like, for me it was like overnight. You stop. They do it on their own. So. When did that change for you, or does it change overnight, those rules, like you can do this and then all of a sudden they can't? They don't need to check with you. He's going off to college in just a few months, few weeks. He won't have those rules.
Right. And he reminds me of that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
When he asks me if he can do something and I'm just not comfortable, you know, I want to drive downtown. And you're just like, what? And he's like, well, in a month, I'm going to be doing this. And you're not going to know anything about it. And that's when you have to check yourself and you have to think, is this one of those moments where I need to let go and give him a little room? But I don't just leave it up to me. I mean, I pray about it, but I call my mom friends. I talk to my coworkers, and, you know, I get everybody's insight on it. And my sister, she's a good one. She's watched him grow up. She'll tell me all the time, you got to let him go. You got to let him grow up. And well, even his sister will tell me that.
You said something important. Like, at least for me, guys, I learn from watching other mothers. Doesn't mean I'm always going to do it that way, but I learn and I have such respect. And I started that in the nursery when I would take my kids to the nursery, how they did stuff. Because you learn in community. And so I want you to know, I do look to you a lot. I'm like, how's she doing it? Because I admire your kids, your children, your family. And yeah, so keep going. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to watch you and we'll figure it out together.
We'll figure it out. Right,
right. And your kids, I know they're horrified because they're in the room.
Just one quick question. Is it easier with Ansley just because she's younger, or is it just girl, boy?
It's not easier. They both have such different personalities. Yeah. I mean, I think I've always covered Daniel more than Ansley. And I tell people all the time, she came out of the womb saying, me do, because she never wanted anybody to do anything for her. She was in the refrigerator making her own food at, you know, 3 years old as soon as she could get it open. So she's been a challenge for me because I want to mother her like I did her brother, but she's so independent. So it's difficult. It's hard being a mama. It just is.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing. I appreciate you sharing a little bit of wisdom with us today. It's helpful. And then Miss Celeste Banks is, I'm so glad you're on the couch with us today. This is exciting. Celeste is away at college right now and has been for a little while. Let me start there. Where are you in school? What are you studying, and what's the plan?
So I attend Georgia Southern University, and I am currently pursuing my bachelor's in music education. Awesome. And afterwards, I'm going to be teaching elementary music, so just general music for, like, kindergarten, first grade through fifth, and working on my business, and that's fantastic. The plan for the rest of forever.
That's great. I love it. So you're not a mom, but you're still being mothered, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you talk to us today, because I want you to speak to that a little bit, and we want to explore that just a little bit. We just heard from a mom who's getting ready to send one of hers to college, and he's thinking, you know, man, it's going to be great to have a little bit of freedom. And I'm just curious what that has looked like for you to be growing in your independence, but also still needing a mom in your life. You're still being mothered. Kristen, you want to speak to that? Or?
Well, I guess I would direct to you, what do you need from your mom at this stage in your life? I mean, you're independent, you're finding independence, still making bigger and bigger decisions. At least that's how it was at my life. At that age, you know, it keeps growing, the more decisions, and you get better at it. But what do you need from your mother? Because let me just tell you my experience at my stage. I went back the other way. The older I got, the more I needed my mom. Mom, how do you do this? Mom, what about that? Or just advice or prayer or spiritual. And I respected her even more as I went through life. But what do you need from your mom at this stage in your life?
I still need, you know, guidance, just regular life things, because, like, I know kids that are going off to college, they're like, well, clearly, I don't need any more help, because I'm going off to college, and I'm grown. But, I mean, once you get there, and you realize, you know, once your parents drive off, you know, and you realize, okay, yeah, this is real life, I'm here on my own, She's not going to wake me up for class. She's not going to tell me to do my homework. You know, you realize that you kind of have to take responsibility for yourself. But that doesn't mean necessarily that we have to be alone. You know, we still have phones, and phones are great. So I use my phone, you know, to call my mom, you know, ask her, you know, how do you do this and that? You know, I just got a job recently, so I was asking her, like, how do you fill out this W-2? Oh, taxes.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was calling her about that, asking her about, you know, boys. And so, you know,
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have anybody, but just if something happens with the boy, I'm
right,
like, well, what should I, you know, what should I say about this, this or that, you know? And then, like, being a woman, like, you know, how should I approach this as a grown person now instead of, like, a child, you know? And so just kind of, like, regular life things. But like you said, I feel like as I go along and experience new things, you know, I'm going to need her even more, you know, because I haven't experienced some of these things before.
I think it's great that, ask your mom for boy questions, boy problems. I never did. I'll be honest. I never did, but.
I'm still waiting on my mom to have the talk with me. I don't,
yeah, me either.
Still waiting.
It's funny, but that's a beautiful thing that you're naturally going into that friendship yet still mentoring with your mom. It's beautiful.
I love that, and thank you so much. Poised and yes. Well-spoken young lady, and I love that. You're a credit to your parents. And I love that. I hope you caught that, you know, even though we're having a little fun with it, that she said she wants to call her mom. She wants that advice from her. That didn't just happen the day she packed up and left for college. I remember when I was leaving for college and I didn't know exactly when I was coming home. I was going to be about 8 hours away from home, and I don't know why. I don't know what it was that my mother, what triggered or snapped in her, maybe is a better word, but she wanted me to have enough toilet paper. I would never have to go buy toilet paper the entire time I was at school. This is a true story. And so I've got all of my clothes. I've got all of my luggage. And then I've got these 4 packs of toilet paper. I probably had 30 of them, 40 of them. I don't know. They were stuffed everywhere. Every open spot in the car was a package, a 4-pack of toilet paper that was stuck in the car. And then I had a flat tire between home and college in the middle of the night. And I was having to figure out how to unload the trunk and deal with this flat tire. And some gentlemen stopped to help me. And finally, one of them said, "Dude, what's the deal with the toilet paper?" You know. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a mama's boy. You know, she's taking good care of me." But those things didn't just start the day you were leaving for college. Your parents were obviously intentional about being open with you and making sure that you knew you could talk to them. That it didn't matter what the subject was, that you could talk. So let me ask you this, as you are, how old are you now, Celeste?
I am 21.
21. Can mom and daughter, can mom and kids be friends?
I think so. I've always had a close relationship with both of my parents. And I think that also has to do with me being an only child. You know, I didn't have brothers or sisters to sit back and, like, annoy me.
You missed out.
You know, I have a godbrother and a godsister, so that was, like, the closest thing. But in the house on a regular basis, it was just my parents and I. And so, you know, we'd hang out together, go shopping, go vacationing, go see family. So I grew up kind of like, I obviously knew that they were my parents and what they said held weight. But I also knew that we could have fun together and it wasn't like lame or anything. I know some people are like, "Oh, I don't want to hang out with my parents." But like, I've always wanted to because, you know, they're always right there and they're really fun.
So good. Would you give Celeste a hand today? Isn't that great? I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, Miss Taylor Lloyd down there on the end. We got to talk to you a little bit. We're getting to know Taylor. She and Her family are new to the church at Covington the last few months and have just jumped in, dove in to the life of the house and a lot of great things that are happening. But I want to get to know you just a little bit more today, and I want our audience to know you a little better today. You're a young, working mom of little ones. You're in the education and administration kind of field and busy with that, but especially busy with Easton and Emmalin, and they're just beautiful kids, a boy and a girl. So to just give you a quick snapshot, you marry young, you decide to start a family. First you have a son and then a daughter, and at some point in that journey, you're aware of some developmental challenges and realize that there are some special needs with Emmalin. And I'm just curious, how scary was that? How scary is that? You're still living it. You're still walking it out. But talk to us a little bit about that journey.
Okay. He's told us not to just ramble on, so make sure that I don't just talk. It was and is very scary. When I realized that there were developmental delays, no one else saw it. No one else agreed with me. She was only 16 months old, so that I was very lonely. I was very sad, and I remember the day that the doctor told us that we needed to go to Marcus Institute and have her evaluated. I dropped her off. Just God planned that. My husband was rained out. He was home. I dropped her off at home, told him that I put her to bed, and I went to the Walmart parking lot, and I sobbed. And I knew that was coming. I'm in education. I'm special education certified, but when it's your own, it's hard. So I have really learned a lot about my faith while facing adversity in trials in my life. I have grown in my faith tremendously. It's still scary, and I still get sad, but I work through that through prayer and trying to lift others up. I feel like I'm a huge advocate for special needs and really want to help other special needs moms and help them find the respite and the peace in Jesus that we know that he can give us.
Amen. So good.
And it's we're just a very, very, very grateful that God brought you here. It has been, I've shared this with some of you guys, but it's been in our hearts for a long time as in ministry, no matter where God placed us, that someday we will have a special needs ministry. Of course, it's our goal to be the church that anybody can come to, yeah. And we truly mean that. Color, race, if you're from a different religion, any kind of need, any kind of special, anything that's different or special, we want to accommodate that, and this is a huge, huge opportunity to reach out to those families. And so I'm really not trying to make it a commercial. I'm just trying to share my vision with you guys. But I'm so, so grateful that you are here and we get to be a part of that and maybe go forward with it. But I want to speak to you and tell you, you are not alone. Church has been my life. I was raised in church, and I know it's yours as well. But we all you're not alone. We're going to help raise her. We're going to, just like you guys mother my children, and I hope you do because I do to your kids. It's going to be no difference, and I feel great, great things about this. So thank you. Thank you for being obedient and letting the Spirit direct you, and we're so excited.
Thank y'all for the opportunity. I'm so excited, too. It's Emmalin gets here and runs to the door because she's ready to get upstairs. We have a wonderful sensory room that we've started. It's not finished by any means, but we have buddies, and she just loves being here, and you can just, it's just God showing us that this is exactly where we were supposed to be at this time in our life, and PK has totally, and Pastor Darrell, they just love my babies, and my kids just love being here. We're very grateful for the opportunity.
Jude is actually up there right now being a buddy to one of them, and I couldn't be more proud, and I hope all of your kids, when they're junior high, get opportunity to do that, because there's so much to learn, and is it spiritual? Yes, it is. It's a great aspect. So.
Yeah. So, what's been born out of this is something called church champs, and our champs are our special needs kids who just need a little extra help, a little extra serving, a little extra love and patience. And so excited that our first meeting, just a quick introduction, and I believe that was on a holiday Sunday or time change Sunday, spring break Sunday, but we had 16 or 17 people who joined us for a meeting to say, you know what, I would love to be a part of Church Champs. I would love to assist and be a buddy and help make a difference. And as Kristen said, today it happens to be our son Jude, who's being a buddy in Church Kids for one of our church champs. And when we leave and go to lunch, he'll have all kinds of stories, or he may say, there was this challenge or that challenge, but this is how I solved it, or this is what I did. And we'll have a chance to teach through that and talk through that. And it's just incredible. And you spoke to something, Taylor, that I think deserves just another minute. It's one thing that you're living this journey. It's one thing that you're sitting in Walmart parking lot, you know, sobbing and probably you probably catch yourself saying, "Wait a minute, I said this to that other parent. I told them they needed to do this, and now it's me. Now it's me that's living this." What is it? What is it that made you want to make the special needs journey easier for other parents?
I went through, will be four in August, so I went through about a year of extreme sadness and loneliness. And how? Because I'm a teacher, I'm an administrator now. How is my child not able to talk and not able to do the things that typical children can do? And as they found out, I've always been very open with our journey. Some people think that I share too much about it, but every time I share something, I reach someone else that says, "Taylor, I need help. How did you know about this? How did you know to do this? What do I do? Where do I go?" And so it was one night, Randy was at the fire station, and I got two messages from two different people, and I just realized, God, this is going to be my testimony. I am here to reach out and to give these people respite. And so I just prayed about it. I reached out to a lot of people. I talked to a lot of parents who were going through similar situations that I was. And when we decided to do, or when I had it in my heart and had no idea who PK and Pastor Darrell were, I just knew that there was somewhere that families needed to go in our community to get respite in Jesus. I shared the statistics with them. 80% of families don't go to church who have special needs kids because they don't know where to go. There's nowhere for their child. They're going to have to sit in the hallway. They can't be ministered to in the hallway. I mean, they can, but they want this sense of family. Sure. That we've found here. So when I shared my heart, PK came over, and Melissa, and I just shared my heart with them, and it was just so God-ordained. They had the same vision. And then when we were able to get our youth involved, y'all, they're living such a narrow-minded. The generation now is so narrow-minded. They don't see things that are different from them. They don't want to see things that are different from them. And see, I'm not only helping parents of special needs kids, I'm helping the future generation find people that are not like them and want to step out to help these kids.
Yep.
I've had many teenagers come up to me, 12 and 13, and say, "Miss Taylor, I want to be a buddy. I see what y'all are doing, and I want to do that too. I want to help these kids." And they know that it's not all fun, and it's hard. It's hard being a special needs mom, but these babies, they're babies to me, these 13 and 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds that want to help people that are different like them hear the word of Jesus and let their mamas and daddies sit in church, I feel like I'm reaching a whole nother level of people.
So awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I saw just, you know, checking in on social media this morning, I saw where Sister Carrie Underwood is on a tour right now. I don't know if you know Carrie Underwood, singer, sister? Yeah, Sister Carrie Underwood. she's on a tour right now, but she's got a song called Champion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great song. But one of the deals when she was getting ready to launch this concert was having young people send in videos of them singing the song Champion. And so in each city and in each tour stop, there is a young person or, you know, a young adult that's coming on stage and, you know, the privilege of a lifetime to go sing with Carrie Underwood and be in front of thousands of people and all of that. It, you know, you can just imagine. But I saw last night at the tour stop in Las Vegas that there was a young man in a wheelchair. And the comments were unbelievable. And she said, meet Stephen, who sang Champion with me last night. And I haven't had a chance to hear the video yet, but just reading the comments, everyone was blown away that she would allow that, that she would do that, that, you know, whatever logistics there are, whatever potential problems could have arisen out of that, whatever challenges it created, there are people that are saying, you know, we don't care about the challenges. That's the one who was deserving. That's the one who had the opportunity. And you may be sitting here today saying, you know what? I've got challenges in my home. I've got difficulties in my home. I may not be at a place that I can talk about it. Maybe I'm in denial about what is going on. Maybe it's a developmental thing or whatever could be happening. And God may not be calling you to be as bold as Taylor is or as open as Taylor is with the challenges that she's faced. But aren't you glad that God has called someone to be as bold as Taylor is so that we can forge a path forward and we can open up doors to say, you know what, church is a chance for every single person. Can we give God praise for the good things he's doing? Amen. It's exciting. So very, very exciting. And then Miss Carolyn Jordan is on the couch today. Listen, I'm sorry, I don't want y'all to tell anybody, but this one may be my favorite. I love Miss Carolyn, and I know that's not fair, so I say sorry, but I love her story, I love her life, and I guess she stands out to me and really won my heart. It was the second time I visited here, and I'm telling you, this was a major, major decision for Kristen and I to uproot our lives and leave the church that was birthed in us and we had pastored for 10 and a half years and to move all the way to Georgia. We came for our second visit, and I honestly had no idea. I knew God was doing something, and I knew God had spoken. And I was listening, but I came the second time, and I'm like, I got to get serious about knowing whether or not this is the will of God. And I left the front row and was walking around the building during praise and worship, and I just needed to feel the room. I just needed to experience it from all angles. And I was walking along the back, and I stopped to stand right back over here underneath that lighted sconce there between these two doors, and Miss Carolyn was standing back there serving that day as one of the ushers, and she just kind of nuzzled up beside me, and she said, I just need to know, are you my pastor or not? I didn't know her name. I didn't know who this woman was, but, you know, when someone who has motherhood in them, when those church mothers speak, you know, it's time to listen. And I said, well, I'm trying to figure that out. She said, well, God's already told me. I just want to know if he's told you yet. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be here or not, but Miss Carolyn said I had to come. So, no, we know this is where we're supposed to be. But Miss Carolyn's life is beautiful, and Miss Carolyn never had children of her own. She's got nieces and nephews that she champions and loves and spoils, but she still has motherhood in her. And I refer to people like her, to her as a church mother, because they've lived life and they've seen things happen, and there's been so many experiences that they have lived through, and they have so much wisdom. And I would say this, youngins, and youngins are anyone younger than Miss Carolyn. This woman ought to have an invitation to lunch about every. I tried to get her to go to lunch with us today, and she was already spoken for. She ought to have someone to go to lunch with every week, because it's people like you who are saying, you know what, I just need to talk to somebody. I just want to be around someone who has wisdom and who I can glean from and who I can learn from, because she's a church mother who deserves that kind of honor.
I have so much respect for Ms. Carolyn, and I have the privilege of getting to hang out with her a little bit. I've called on her for some projects, and she is always willing and ready, and I treasure those times. It's not just anybody, and I have so much respect, and I treasure that time together, because I know it's a gift, and I want you to know that. But let me ask you a question. If you could tell your younger self anything, what would it be? If you could tell your younger self anything, what would it be?
My younger self? Well, if I could tell my younger self, I would want to tell myself back then, way back, to give my life to God earlier than when I did. And since now I'm older, I'm glad that I chose when I did.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Amen.
What, share some wisdom with us. What do you think our younger ladies should be prioritizing in their life at this stage in their life? Just very generally speaking, of course, but how should the younger generation be prioritizing?
Well, I think that the younger generation should look up to the older women.
Absolutely.
For wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And they should at least do what the Bible say, you know, look up to the older ones and be trained up in the way that they should go. Mm-hmm. And this way they won't depart.
Yeah.
If they depart, they will come back. Mm-hmm. It may be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but if they do, they will come back. And I continue to pray for the younger generation, because the younger generation is nothing like our generation. And I'm grateful to know that I can encourage some of the younger people. I do have younger peoples in my family, but they don't give the older ones respect. What can you do? You can't do anything but continue to pray for them. And one sure thing I can say, I was trained up. My mom and father brought me into this world through Jesus Christ. She passed away when I was a little baby. And I'm grateful that I was raised up through a grandmother. So I can encourage the younger generations and some of the ones at my age. And it's just an interesting life. It's a very interesting life that I live, because I came up with no mother, and I don't know a time that I can say that I even bought a Mother's Day card. Many of you have. Why, you can buy a Mother's Day card, buy one. I never had to buy one. I never had to say Happy Mother's Day, you know. And me listening to everybody here today is such a blessing to me, and everything that's been said to me, I would try my best to encourage more younger peoples in this generation.
One thing that I love about you, and I glean from you, and I want to learn from you, and it's not talked about as much as our generation, unfortunately, is on prayer. And I know that that is something that's super important to you. How do we implement that more in this younger generation life? I mean, there's the same need for it. There always will be. If not, there's more of a need for it. It's just not as prevalent or dependent upon like it used to, because we have so much stuff. That's just my perspective. Tell me about what prayer means to you.
Prayer means to me, he who meet God early can meet anyone else later.
Wow.
Meaning that every day your eyes wake up. If you are alert, that's your time to pray. And if you go out of the house before you pray, you may end up running into different situations. But my life was he who meet God early. I can meet any of you later. So
good.
So this is why I enjoy praying. And I know that prayer to me, it has gotten me to where I am now, because I put him first. When I say he who meet him, I meet him early. If I open up my eyes at 4 o'clock in the morning, that is my indication for me to stay up and pray. Wow. And I think about how Jesus Christ gave up his life and how he sacrificed. So when I roll out of my bed a lot of mornings, I had to think about that. And then when I lay down every night, and then I said, well, if 4 o'clock comes, then it's my time to get up. And I want you to know that most nights, most mornings, that 4 o'clock, when I opened my eyes, it was 4 a.m. I knew it was time for me to get up. So prayer is a very important thing for not just me, for all of us. I mean, if you want to see blessing, put God first.
Amen.
And that's a way of putting him first, is putting him first. Amen. When you open up your eyes in the morning and you wonder why you can't go back to sleep, that is God's indication that get up and pray, get up and pray. So as long as I can live on this earth and continue to come to church, and I do remember years and years ago, I walked to Sunday school. I was made to walk to Sunday school. And right this day, I'm still walking. And I'm not walking in Sunday school, but I'm still in church, in other words. Yeah. So I continue to put God in my life and to continue to pray for not just me, for everybody in here. If you tell me you're sick, I write your name down on my prayer list. So I will continue to pray for everybody.
Amen.
I told y'all. Y'all need to talk with her. She's got so much wisdom. Thank you.
He who meet God early can meet anyone else later. I love that. One more time. Let's give Miss Carolyn a hand. I want to hear from one more of our ladies here today. This is Cindy Bailey that's with us down on the end. If you haven't had a chance to meet Cindy, we've gotten to know her a little better over the last few months. Small groups has made that difference, to have the opportunity just to hear a little more about their life and their story. And Cindy is a mom and a grandmother, and you enjoy that vaulted position of having been a mom and a grandmother, and you can see so much from the place you're in life. And two kids, you've had two kids, and sadly you lost a daughter. And I know and can't even imagine how devastating that must have been, and not asking to get into that today per se. I know today is too perfect, and I know that is incredibly painful, but I am curious, when you lost her, did you feel like you lost you? Can you speak to that?
Yes, I felt like I lost a part of me. I buried a part of me. She was my, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cry.
Sorry.
She was my firstborn, and then I lost a child between her and my second child, and then my number two daughter's here, and then But when Rachel died, it was an accident. We weren't expecting it, and so it was devastating. And yes, when that day was probably the coldest, rainiest day ever. But yes, when they walked us away from that casket, a part of me left, and I won't even lie. There were times I went to the grave and sat at night, because I would have rather been me.
Yeah.
But God. Yeah. But God. Jesus. Yes. And I love this prayer. This is awesome, because one of my favorite songs is in the garden. You know, I stand in the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And that's the time I can just, when you're alone with him, it's so precious. You want it. And I gleaned from my grandmothers. I was raised in a Christian home. I had Christian grandparents. I know they prayed for us. And even though they were gone, their prayers lived on. So please pray. Pray, pray, pray. Don't think they're not important. They are. But yes, after we lost her, but she had a six-month-old, little Hannah. And we set in for adoption. We did not know, you know, anything about the bio on the other side. So we set in to adopt her because we wanted her so much.
Yeah.
She was 6 months old. So I will say that even though it forced me to have to see life, you know, I had to get up every morning and see the life in that little girl's eyes, and I couldn't let her down. And I couldn't let my second daughter down. That it was hard on her because she found her sister. Anyway, but yes, a part of you just, I'm sure many of you, I heard it's not a club anybody wants to be a part of, I promise you, because you never stop missing a child. But I know that I know that I know that I raised her right. I found journals. Hannah's just like her mother. She writes everything down. I found so many journals of Rachel where she talked about her relationship with the Lord. It was complicated, but she knew him. And I raised them in the church. Roy and I raised them in the church. And even though it may not seem like it's making a difference, it's making a difference. And they may not even tell you, especially when they get to be teenagers, that it's making a difference, but it's making a difference. Amen. That word is real, and it's alive, and it never, ever leaves you if you instill it into your children.
That's beautiful. Amen. How did you find yourself again after dealing with that? How did you get that strength?
Prayer and therapy. I had to go to therapy and just talk it out. You kind of have to talk things out to hear them. Once you hear them through your mouth, you can sort through them. But the emotions are rampant in your mind, and there's no way that you can fix it. You can't fix it. But between Jesus and talking, you know, with a therapist, I was able to get there.
Well, thank you for sharing your heart.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for having Hannah, because she is beautiful.
She is.
Beautiful.
You know, we talk about the best of the story. That is the best of the story.
Yes.
You literally get to see your daughter every single day.
Absolutely.
And Hannah. It's the best of the story.
It's the best. Yes, it is.
God is so good. You're an incredible mom, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being vulnerable today and being willing to share. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. our children are, they're the Lord's inheritance for us. He gives them to us. Whether they have challenges, whether, you know, they get off track, whether, you know, it doesn't matter. They're God's inheritance for us. And as parents, as moms today, we have the privilege of raising them and loving them. I want our moms, I want our ladies today, young and old, to know how amazing you are, and that this church celebrates you and is thankful for you and appreciates so much who you are in this church. You may feel like you're failing as a mom. You may feel like you'll never get there, or you'll never achieve the success that a Patty has achieved in raising great kids and now influencing grandkids, or you'll never have the boldness of a Taylor, or ever put all this together to figure out how I can be wise like a Miss Carol or any of these other ladies today. But I want you to know that you've got motherhood in you, even if you don't have kids yet. You may be in that season of waiting. You're trying, but it's not happened. Listen, we're not going to wait to celebrate the woman that you are. We're going to celebrate you right now, because you are deserving and you have motherhood in you. Motherhood knows how. Motherhood knows how to recover. Motherhood knows how to survive. Motherhood knows how to get back up. Motherhood knows how to heal. Motherhood knows how to pray. We've got a church full of women that have mama in them, and we are grateful, grateful, grateful for every single one of you. Can we give our ladies a hand today one more time? Amen. Listen, and before we go today, we're wrapping up just another moment, and we're going to make sure that every lady gets a gift today, and we're excited about that. But I want to pray for our ladies today. In fact, I'd love for every lady to stand. Would you do that today? Would you stand if you're a lady in the house? Just allow us to celebrate you just a moment and honor you just a moment. And let me. I'm not a lady, but I'm gonna stand. I am wearing pink, so allow me just a minute to stand. We want to pray for you today, and we want to ask God to bless you today. And I'm gonna ask couple of these ladies to pray over you today and to bless you today, and want you to leave strong and want you to leave well able today. Miss Carolyn, would you get that mic and just begin praying today over our ladies?
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, as we come this morning in your name, no other name but your name, Lord, we ask that you would bless every mother that's here this morning that is breathing right now. God, Father, we asking that you will anoint them, yes, as they leave this place, and we asking you to bring them back each time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for whatever they do today, that they will have a wonderful time. We ask that the children will honor their mother, unconditional love, with kindness. And Lord, we ask that you, that they will respect their mothers. We ask that, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint them every day they go out to work. And God, we ask that they would be good mothers. They would be the mothers that you have called them to be. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you would touch them. Help them to be good wives. And Lord, help them to be good wives to their husbands. And God, we ask that you would touch each one of them as they go in and out of their houses, as they go shopping every day, and as they go away from this place today, as they go out to eat, anointing them, blessing them, anointing them around each and every day, God. Lord, we thanking you for every mother. Bless our first lady this day. Lord, we ask that you would bless her and her family and her children, Jesus, that they will respect each other. Unconditional love. And Lord, that this is love, Lord, that everlasting love. Lord, we ask that you would go every single day, Lord Jesus, giving us more wisdom and knowledge and understanding on how to live a good life for you, God. We thanking you, God. Lord, there is no other God but you, and we love you so much, God. Lord, touch all the children as they go in and out every day to school. Yes. And we ask that you would protect them. sending your angels around them each and every day, on the school buses, in the schoolhouses. Lord, we ask Jesus that you protect them. We thanking you, Lord. We thanking you for every mother that you have brought out to the house of God. And Lord, we so everly, carefully giving you the name in no other name but Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Can we give God praise today? Hallelujah. Amen.